Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Life is full of awesome what ifs and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
People running. Lots of runners. Let's join them.
Let's do it.
Lots of runners on the Parkland Way.
Good morning, dear listener.
Hey up. Morning.
We are on the Parkland Walk. Is this the first time this year we've?
I think it might be.
Country?
Yeah. I think it might be.
And the incredible coldness and sunshine of Morning Mag Park the last few days has passed.
It's a bit grey, isn't it? But it's all right though, isn't it?
It's only gone up a degree or two. It's still nicely wintry.
Yeah.
And it's overcast. Cold weather's great for running, right?
Yeah, it is nice, isn't it?
Because it gives you a need.
It's nice.
Like, I better run.
Or I'm nice and crisp.
Go to hypothermic coma.
I ran with my daughter down here the other
Brilliant.
On Saturday. We had a little bit of a run around here. She really enjoyed it. How's your running been going? You did the running show, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a great week for running, actually.
Yeah.
I went out. I was just pushing the. On last week, I wanted to do a little bit, you know, trying to add a little bit every week.
Right.
I went out last Thursday, and I ran about 9 miles.
Nice, yeah.
I had this idea I wanted to do a fast mile.
Yeah.
But I was kind of talking myself out of it all the way, you know.
Right.
I was in Victoria Park. I thought, well, I won't be able to see if I've done it, because if it's not on a mile, and da-da-da. Anyway, I was just jogging around Victoria Park, and I went to the loo. And when I came out, I'd done exactly 6 miles.
Right.
And there's a loop of Victoria Park, which is exactly a mile.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, go on then.
Nice.
So I ran that loop, changed the music accordingly, you know, and put my foot down.
Yeah.
Ran a mile. It was like the equivalent of doing hill reps the week before, you know, just a little blast.
Yeah, good for you.
Somewhere in the week.
Really useful, yeah.
6:36 it was.
Nice, yeah.
And then, of course, slowed right down again and ran home. And then on Saturday morning, it was the Queen Elizabeth Park 10K.
Yes, and you had another good one then.
That was lovely. Such a great event. I said it before, but those run-through events really are nice. And this is not... This is not supported content, that's an objective opinion.
It's like they are good, they're really good.
It's like going to a little fete, you know, everyone's really relaxed and jolly, but they get everything done.
He manages to retain a bit of a sort of friendly vibe with lots of people, doesn't it?
Yes, that's
it sort
right.
of gets it right, yeah.
It's very organic. There's a real sense of democracy, which, as we said before, same as Parkrun. Remember that it's... That doesn't mean... It means everyone, whatever everyone's doing there, they're celebrated.
Yeah.
Whether they're walking, running as fast as they can, 5K, 10K, it's just equal, you know?
Yeah.
Really good. Also, like I say, I mean, it was really cold on Saturday morning. And that does help one start off quite quickly.
Yeah, it really does, yeah.
Although, gives you that I've really enjoyed...
Inbuilt motivation to...
Yeah.
Keep the tempo up.
And it's funny because following people into that morning sun, everyone's got this kind of cloud of breath haze around their head.
Yeah.
I was thinking quite later on, it's like looking at ponies in a winter
field. Yeah.
It was a totally different course.
Right.
Still in the same park.
Interesting.
A different sign-up spot, different start line, and yet still excellent. I think some would argue that this course is flatter than it was.
Right.
But it's still got a sort of gentle undulation to it, which I find much more, I'm much more into these days.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about a bit of gentle gradient, no actual hills. It just, it's like...
Gave you a little bit of something to work with.
Yeah, it's dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It means you can kind of think, I'm sort of getting sort of a rest on this downhill.
Yeah.
I've sort of got to push it on this uphill. But yeah. It's just gentle. It just gives you, like you say, engagement with it. And I love that they're, all the 10Ks I've done for them have been 4 laps. I've certainly said that before, but 4 laps just works a treat.
Yeah, it is. It's lovely.
If you've
yeah.
never done it before, you've got 1 lap to have a look at it. Second lap flashes by because you've
because you've done 1 lap and you warmed
up. Third lap.
Third lap's pretty tough.
Is the hardest
because you're hanging in.
But you've learnt how to do it, and you know that it's the third lap that's the hardest because you slip into the fourth.
And now you're on your last lap.
Yeah.
No, it's beautiful.
And that ties in with the other thing, which I definitely feel is the way my brain works. And I don't know if it's other people's, but I think it's really true that if you can lay a very simple map over, you know, psychologically of what you're doing, you can really trick yourself.
Yeah.
It's very hard to think of the 4-lap 10K around Queen Elizabeth Park as being twice as far as a 5-lap 5K.
Yes, yeah.
When you combine that with the fact that, you know, these are all tricks everyone plays. I met a guy straight after, a lovely guy called Adrian, who runs at Highbury Fields.
Yeah.
And I don't think he'd done a 10K event before. And we were just saying how you finish a park run running flat out, and you run for that finish line, and you think, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's me done for today.
Yeah.
Because you run into that third lap, it actually balances exactly what we were just saying. You run into that third lap of a 10K, and you're thinking, oh!
Yeah.
I've still got, you know, it's like, this, just, this tank is half full.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. And, yeah, so, the same one lap. You know, that last lap really did
and you
feel...
And you did a swift old time as well.
Yeah, it's 46, no, it's wrong, 42:31.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, I mean...
It's great.
I used to, when I got my 10K PB years ago, it felt like a one I could smash if I just put my mind to it.
Yeah.
I'd beat it, you know. And that PB is 41:59.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, I'll get that down to 40 minutes.
It's and not easy.
Didn't happen.
No, it's not
but
easy.
But from here...
Yeah.
32 seconds off the PB.
Yeah.
I think I could...
There's a route to it, isn't there?
I could chase that, yeah.
Yeah.
So 42 minutes has become the bar rather than 40.
But what's funny is that, like, a few weeks ago you were doing a part running, like, 21:10 and a bit or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you string two together consecutively. You can do that, can't you? It seems to happen a bit, doesn't it?
It's just seconds. There's just seconds in it, that's right. Yeah. I don't fade. I mean, I would... I will over time.
Yeah.
But exactly, I think when I'm running it, there's still a bit of distance in my body. It's the same way as if I was running a 100 or a 200 meter race, I'd lose, you know.
Yeah.
It's really distance flat out is my thing. So yeah, you can, if you take my parkrun time and double it, there's not much in it for my 10K time. Which is great.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
So I really enjoyed it. And
really nice, honest distance 10K.
Yeah. I want to do another one, but I haven't worked out how to fit it into my training. I had this thought. I want to ask your advice about this. I thought to myself, well, Run Through said what you can do next on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I had a look. And because my next marathon is at the beginning of April. And they've got an event in the same place, Queen Elizabeth Park.
Yeah.
At the beginning of March.
Right.
And there's a 10K then. And there's also a half marathon.
Interesting.
So I think I'm going to go and do the half marathon.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of marathon prep, the half marathon's more useful.
Yeah.
At that time, isn't it?
And conversely, if I carry on training like this, I put myself in a position where I run that half marathon pretty hard.
Yeah.
I don't know to what... whether that'll be successful, you know. But this time last year,
yeah,
very similar schedule, took me to that half marathon in the Midlands.
Yeah.
Remember that one? And that was a good, that was basically a tasty old run. So I think just doing it on the in the arena where they do their 10Ks
yeah,
is
going to
make
really...
me think of it as a kind of pace event, you know?
Yeah. I might do the 10K, actually.
On the March the 5th?
Yeah, I'll have a look and see if I'm around. Yeah, I'll have a look and see if I'm around then, yeah.
It was really nice. I spoke to a few really nice people up there.
Yeah.
But I was really sorry not to see Jenny Sawford, because she was doing it too.
Right, yes, yeah.
Online, who I did, funnily enough, the only time I met her in real life was at the Hyde Park 10K. And I knew she was there, but I didn't see her.
Yeah,
but she said that...
she gave us a shout.
Yeah, because she was trying to finish fast, I think, due to the cold, but to see a friend. And so she ran her fourth lap fastest.
No, good for her,
which is really good running. And she said, yeah, she invoked your push, push, push.
It's a good... That's also, when I read that, I thought, it's also a good tactic to have a mate waiting at the end, isn't it?
Yeah, particularly an impatient mate.
Yeah.
And someone on the finish line going, come on!
Yeah.
There was a moment there where they'd registered my time as a 5K time.
Right.
Which made me think of a kind of Fitzpatrick in Pride and Prejudice. That would lessen my friend's achievement considerably. And the worst thing about that was, and this is pure paranoia for me, is that it was the kids, the youngsters on the finish line. And I was in quite a big window. When I came in, there was no one around me.
Right.
And I can just see them seeing me rolling in, shoulders wangling.
Did you get in, was there any sort of racing going on? Were you involved with anyone? Or?
No one at all, just me. Right. I mean, I was running as fast as I could. In my mind's eye, I was Tom Cruise on Blackfriars Bridge. So the thought that...
Was it one of those where people are doing different races, but they're set off before you sort of thing? Or
the 5K and a 10K start at the same time.
Right.
Or same time-ish.
Right, okay.
And they kind of pace everyone in to minimise, you know, you get to the start. Like, it's great the run-through thing, because you get right near, they do a warm-up at 15 minutes before the race.
Yeah.
And then when it's time for the race, they kind of walk you over. You really... Don't go till the start line, till it's time to go.
Right.
So I say, if you think you can do it in 35 minutes, stroll up. And then literally straight after that, 40 minutes, just stroll up.
Yeah.
And when they get to the last people, then they start the race.
Yeah.
And that whole process is really relaxed and takes 5 minutes and totally works.
Yeah.
It's great. But yeah, so I just thought, just gave me a gay.
Nice.
It's a strange thing.
Nice.
It gave me that feeling that a clear image I projected myself of myself running with my humpy back and my rolly shoulders and my grinning face and my silver hair. And like, here's an old timer.
Yeah, here he is. Yeah.
Here he comes.
Here he comes on his 5K. Well done, mate.
And meanwhile, into him, Tom Cruise, I got to get to Teak Martin right now.
And how was the... How was the running show afterwards?
The running show was absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
Really good scene. It was much busier than last year, just in general.
Right.
And I felt, in a way that was probably related to that, I felt like there were loads more people there. You either just knew who you were and kind of smiled and said hello.
Yeah.
Who were active or who were actively seeking me out, you know.
Nice.
Of course, several of those people, because we've been there together, but only at the party. But we've been there on the floor at different times.
Yes, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a nice thing for runners to kind of collect.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
you
did that. And then the scene, the...
You did a little...
First time ultra.
Yeah.
With a woman called Lisa from Black Trail Runners.
Right.
And that was a really good... we were a really good pair because we were... It's a bit like us, you know. We completely agreed with each other on all the main things, but we have very different experiences. You know, I was like the silly loner, and she's like the... She's a great runner for people to talk to, because we were kind of skewering the idea that it's like... that you're going to break yourself on it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think people need that idea in life. It can be very masculine. I think it can really help on a short distance. I think the further you go... the less useful that is. I still think for some people that's going to help.
Yes. But the idea that...
That you're just going to burn yourself on it.
You know,
that you're just going to go right out there and just see, and then it's really going to hurt.
That
whatever, it's going to break.
Whatever happens, it's going to break you sort of thing.
Yeah. Like the whole...
That's a default sort of thing.
Yeah, the psychological model is putting yourself on a wheel or a rack.
Yeah.
Whereas she was just the archetypal person who just decided she had a really good why.
Yeah.
She knew she could do it. She also knew it was going to be really hard.
Yeah.
So she trained really well.
Yeah.
She really paid attention to her mentors and trainers. She knew she wanted to do it, so she
got stuck in. You know, she's a teacher, so she's right. got to yeah, do she, that thing busy. We're always talking about. She's got to get out and run miles in the bad weather before work or whatever.
Yeah.
And then in the event and in the final training, just really leaning on the people around her, you know, a sense of that balance you get of support from your community and knowing that ultimately it's you who's got to do this.
Yeah.
The woman from Bad Warani had a really good quote about that. It was like... only you can do this. You might know this quote. I don't know where it's from.
Yeah.
Only you can do this, but you don't have to do it alone.
Yeah.
That's really... Anyway, she was very... she was on it. She made me think, yeah, that's how you do it. Whereas I was like, oh!
That sounds good. It sounds like you had a laugh. Yeah.
But I think that it always happens home. The thing with me is that hopefully my perspective is interesting for people because despite my increased experience and knowledge, I'm still entirely self-taught.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm speaking a slightly different language when I talk about running. And not just when I call a hydration vest the water bra.
Yeah.
that bit of silliness.
A water wonder bra.
Set the place alight. Yeah. Hello, boys.
So it's great that it was busier.
Yeah, it was kicking up there. It really was. And it was very nice. Thanks to everyone who came along in regard to my book.
Yeah.
And they split really nicely into people who said, I'd like to buy your book. I've been wanting to read it. People say it's good. And people are saying, it's good to see you. I funded your book. My name is in the back of it.
Right, yeah, nice.
So, you know, it's just...
yeah, that's good.
That's a lovely journey. I've only got two of my own copies of my book left.
Right.
Got loads of yours, though. So I'm going to start trying to sell those at gigs.
You'll have to get some more. Yeah, yeah. You have to get some more of your books.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. They're still available online, guys. That's not the only two. Yeah. That's the only two in my house.
Guys!
And I saw 200 Minute Man.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is good, because I don't want to steal his crown. We talked about that. I was thinking the other day how... It's all very well. It's nice to have a quest. But how hard I worked to get under 3:30 for the first time in years.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking to knock... Another 10 off it,
yeah.
Yeah. But on the other hand, this 10K half talk
can be done. Yeah,
going in the right direction. And that'd be great, yeah, if you can come up and do that 10K.
Yeah, I'll get a little read.
Else, I think you'll like it, and it's a good one, great one to train for.
Yeah,
timing wise, isn't it?
No, it'll give us a little something to aim at. I've got my new trainers.
Yep. Oh, I wore the old
so that's gonna
hand me down Vaporflies. Which is, I mean, that just sums up the ridiculousness of my run. I know that Vaporflies are the ones you wear, but I must have been the only person there in slightly too small secondhand ones.
So you wore them for the 10K, did you?
I did, yes.
Yeah.
And as you can see, they did me, they did all right.
Yeah, yeah.
I reckon if all goes well come the autumn, I might treat myself to something brand new and expensive to do the Yorkshire Marathon.
To do York, yeah. Give you that extra 5%.
So you went out with Bonnie.
Yeah, I did a run with Bonnie. Well, look at She's sort of getting into running four times a week, whatever.
Excellent.
She really enjoyed it. Bought some new trainers, went to Runner's World, bought some new trainers. The guy who used to work there from Heatside has actually gone to join Run Through as a race executive.
Oh, wow, excellent.
Yeah, so that was interesting. Had some people around for dinner, which was really good fun. It was a bit of a weird one. We had a real laugh. We had a real laugh at dinner. And I didn't so much fall off the wagon as leapt off.
Yeah, you leapt bodily off the wagon. Do you know, I think I felt that in the ether.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I wonder if he's still not drinking. I thought,
no.
He's had a drink.
No, I totally leapt off.
Did you mix it all up? I'm picturing a gif here, all different gifs of you, like all among the drinks. So it's just red wine.
It was just red wine and started off with
just three bottles.
With a bit of champagne.
Just one vat. Then,
yeah. It was, we had mates round. It was sort of, they're the kind of mates who it's sort of pointless to have round unless you're going to have a drink. Yeah, they're sort of those mates.
Yeah.
It's just no matter what, we're always going to end up sort of shouting at each other and laughing and joking and dancing. Yeah. It was always going to, you know.
Yeah, but is that a subtext though? Did you fall out a little bit?
No, but we did.
A bit of fun row.
No, but we did have some rows.
Good, cool.
My mate, Coops, who's very funny.
He's the one that keeps all the chickens.
And a postman. and he's a he's just likes a row.
Yeah. So no, he doesn't.
So he'll say things like
Sinead, he must love the internet.
He'll say things like Sinead O'Connor's way better than Madonna, or you know, Michael McIntyre. He can't do comedy. And then I'll say, well, actually, I quite like Madonna. Or I think objectively, you've got to say Michael McIntyre can do comedy. Yeah. And then I get accused of being argumentative.
Yeah.
By reacting to that. Surely that's basically saying, let's have a row, isn't
it? Do you know, yeah.
Brilliant. But it was terrible. Funny. It was funny, though.
It reminds me, yesterday I saw the episode of Seinfeld where he's going to go on a date with a policewoman.
Yeah.
And he offhandedly lies that he doesn't watch Melrose Place. And they say, well, we're going to put you on a polygraph.
Yeah.
And it's that sense, the reason I thought of it is because it's rising to it, you know?
Yes, yeah.
So your mate says, I can't do comedy. And you're like,
well, I mean,
you're trying to get me.
He obviously knows that I work with him. So it's basically saying let's have a lively debate, you know.
Yeah.
But we did have a massive laugh as well. I mean, we had a huge laugh.
Yeah.
And we managed to get through it without any big rows.
Yeah.
There was just the odd moment.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that
I'm not sure that would have worked for me.
That Madonna doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say I prefer Sinead O'Connor.
You might as well say hats are actually more footwear than headwear.
Yeah, hats don't work for heads.
Dogs can fly.
Yeah.
Something
like that. The sun doesn't generate heat. It's like
Martine McCutcheon doesn't and has never existed.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Sinead O'Connor. And I really like Nothing Compares to You. And she's great. But surely you've got to say Madonna knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Over time. Look at the longevity of it.
Do you know who's better than Madonna and Sinead O'Connor? It's Tom O'Connor.
Yeah. No. Well, of course, we went straight onto that. Tom won that one hands down. Because you can't debate that.
He's also better than Michael McIntyre.
Way better than McIntyre.
Lots of younger listeners. We've got lots of younger listeners. Any younger listeners going, I don't know who you're talking about.
Tea is not a hot drink. Well, do you know what? I'd suggest it is a hot drink. Why do you want a row? Why do you want to argue all the time?
Nice, fun stuff.
You're so argumentative.
Yeah, so Jerry, they put him on the polygraph, and it's brilliant. There's this old guy. It's not his friend, the policewoman. It's an old bloke smoking a cigar, you know.
He says,
what's your name? What's your date of birth? Did Michael sleep with Sally? When Sally and Billy went to Vegas.
Stay up.
It's really good because you think it's going to be the polygraph that gives him away, but it's just Seinfeld's emotions.
Right.
He just goes, no, she didn't. I can't believe she'd go back to him. It's really good. Really good surprise. Love it, Seinfeld.
Do you know what? I should have mentioned this before, but we're going to maybe have to do a short loop today because I've got to get back to pick up the dog.
How is this Billy?
From the dog groomer, yeah, because they go really mental with me.
And how?
You charge me extra wedge.
So it's
she's having her hair cut, basically.
Oh, great. So she's not well.
Oh, no, she's fine. She's absolutely fine.
Oh, that's really good.
She's just having her hair cut. I mean, it's arguable whether she needs it or not.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, we're currently in Queenswood. Are we going to cut Highgatewood or are we going to go straight down the road? What do you reckon?
We're going to go.
This is a weird surface.
Yeah, this is hot, isn't it?
I think it's frozen and defrosted, but it's...
It's quite nice.
It's not icy. It's like the mud and gravel and wood chips are frozen and now they're collapsing. Strange. But nice, as you
say. Yes, it's nice, yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking, just cut back down the wood.
All right. Works for
me. We finally sorted out the boiler as well. That took ages from various visits, so we had a lot of... So it's all been quite expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we did the boiler thing a couple of years ago. Whoa!
Well, yeah, it's they just kept coming back and not knowing what was wrong and trying new things, which always costs money.
Yeah.
And then they finally sorted it. And bless her, the woman who finally sorted it was brilliant, but... You meet some real chancers, don't you?
Yeah.
When you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, you've got to find good people, because we don't know, do we?
No. One bloke came around before Christmas, did absolutely nothing, charges like 180 quid call out, and then said as he left that he was earning a grand a day at the moment. I'm not surprised, mate.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Well, he's going through the the year 21 to 22 doing the old... receipt and saw the bit where we had a bathroom fix, and that's where we had a run of three guys, one guy who was good but couldn't do it, one guy who was really dodgy, and then one guy who came in and fixed it all up.
Right.
And it was good because the last guy, I mean, he was good because he was like, oh, this is a right state, this is going to be difficult, and that kind of level of honesty is what you need, you know what I mean?
Yes. Rather than, it's
easy. Oh, it turned out to be difficult. But this bloke, the middle guy, was the one who kept phoning me up late at night to talk about it, and I was on the road.
Yeah.
He's like phoning me in Wales and saying, the thing is, Mr. Doing, particularly when I'm really, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's like I'm a late night radio host. It's kind of telling me my problems, but it's my bathroom.
It's like
madness, I tell you.
If you're, because I know someone who works in show business as a show manager.
Yeah.
And the work is a bit sporadic.
Yep.
And he's decided to just, Be like an odd job man, just do DIY stuff. He's entirely self-taught. Because it's an attitude, isn't it, DIY? Of sort of curiosity plus can-do kind of...
And a logical, an engineering
brain. Yeah, logical engineering brain, whatever. And of course, he's completely busy.
Yeah.
And he's at gigs now, getting multiple phone calls while he's at gigs. I think he's seriously wondering whether to just jack it all in and be a DIY
bloke. Yeah, well, one
because they're constantly busy.
One of these, it's a bit cold, that dog's gone in the pond. I reckon it might be a regret now. Breaking the ice like the wild swimmers at the moment, breaking the ice to get into the London lakes. Incredible. One of those plumbers last year, really nice guy, really good one.
Yeah.
We took a recommendation, he came over and he did it for us. And he had an HGV licence.
Right.
And in lockdown, he just thought, right, I might as well do a bit of that. And he's just making so much money doing the driving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next time I needed something done, I phoned him up and he said, I've moved house, I don't do it anymore. I'm doing the haulage.
Yeah, right.
Either that or it was all a lie and he hated me. Oh, Rob! Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what.
In traffic at the moment.
Breaker one. You got a bear in the air. Actually, bears can fly.
But it's... But it's hilarious how much DIY people can earn and just constantly busy. Because one guy came around 2 hours to like fix a table and a couple of things.
2 hours is expensive, you're going to pay for both.
But he's actually like, he was with us an hour and a half, charged about 40 quid. To be fair, he spent at least half of that chatting.
Yeah.
And I do like him.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Did you give him tea?
Yes.
It's not actually a hot drink.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. To say anything else would be highly argumentative. He came in, slagged off Madonna, said McIntyre didn't know what he was doing.
And then he phoned him up and he hung up.
But we were chatting about what he does and he was saying, I do DIY, I'm always busy and stuff. Because there's loads of people who don't know how to fix anything.
I mean, I was going to say, it's a bit like when someone says, can I take it for you when you're getting a selfie? If he's doing it, it's not really DIY anymore, is it? It's D-I-S-E. Do it someone else.
Yes, yeah,
that's what I want.
Yeah,
I'm going to do some D-I-S-E this weekend. Oh, please, do it someone else.
Yeah, that's what he does. And that's what, but he works on the cusp of order. He's constantly moving to disorder, isn't he?
Order. Yeah,
philosophically. And entropy, whatever.
Yeah.
So he's always going to be busy.
Yeah, that's right.
Because there's always little things going wrong.
Yeah, we always think everything's fine. It's that kind of being grown up, isn't it? You own a house. You're like, what's wrong with the house? It's like, well, we've owned it for time.
Yeah.
And things don't stay
just
the same.
Just everything, yeah. Well, you fix one thing, another thing goes.
And also, it's like...
And then he pops in.
The other day, the kids say, didn't you sort that out the other day? It's like, no, we sorted it out 4 years ago.
Yeah.
We need to sort it out again.
Yeah.
And that's true of everything. That was a conversation about the books on the bookshelves, you know. And everything just builds up.
Yeah.
Builds up like the poo in the sea.
There's always stuff that needs fixing.
Yeah.
And there's always some bloke who'll do it for you.
Yeah. So dice. Roll the dice. Yeah. Do it someone else. What was I going to say to you? Oh, I didn't tell you this.
Yeah.
In between the wonderful run through 10K and the really great running show, I had a terrible time.
Oh, yeah. Go on, man.
I look back now at that first half hour after the run.
Yeah.
Lovely. You know, I got changed. Didn't get properly changed. Just still letting my running stuff underneath. But I put...
What? This is after the run through?
After the run.
Right, yeah.
Put on my sort of civilian clothes over the top. Jump back on my bike.
Yeah.
Really took my time. You know, 20 minutes talking to other people.
Yeah.
And just coming down from the run.
Yeah.
And then on my bike.
Yeah.
And I cycled off down to find the canal.
Yeah.
It was really busy. I first got to the canal. There was a load of ambulances there. I was like, oh, dear.
Right.
Oh, dear. And then I got to the bit where you climb up and go over the bridge. And then came really close to properly falling off the bike. I was like, oh, yeah, I haven't really got the skills for this.
Yeah.
And then... Because I'm not a great cyclist. I've been doing it for years. I'm not confident with it.
Yeah.
And I kind of panic.
So you were panicking because you were late or because it was dangerous?
It was dangerous.
Right.
You name it. So yeah. I came off the towpath, went through Victoria Park, which is a relief because for a moment there, the danger of falling in the canal was slightly reduced.
Yeah.
And then had to get back on the canal. Looking at my watch going, I'm going to miss my train. Which is ridiculous. It was like an hour and a half after the race, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got back on the canal where I had to.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful sunny Saturday morning. And it was so busy. Between like Victoria Park and Broadway Market and Angel.
Right.
Everyone out just enjoying the day, you know. And trying to cycle past them. And there's so many runners. And I just wanted to say to every runner,
get out of my way!
No, the opposite. I'm a runner too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm rubbish on the bike. I can't do it. And basically, I'd say about 80% of people are spatially aware and we're all sort of moving, flying around each other, being really careful. But there's a fair few people who are just noodling along and they don't notice, and that's fine too.
Yeah.
And it's just me not handling very well, you know, kind of going, oh, it's okay, I'll go around. I don't think it's just two guys walking along. I could have pinged my little bell. I said, excuse me. I went to the left, went through the mud. I started skidding around in the mud. I say skidding around, it's like 8 inches of mud next to the cold water, you know. And then it narrowed down to nothing. I came up the bump out of it. And I totally lost control. I came so close to just...
Right.
Spencering it into the canal.
Like yard sale.
What an idiot. And instead I went... Stayed on the bike, nearly crashed into a cyclist coming the other way and said, I'm going to the canal today. It was a nightmare. It's one of the worst half hours of my life.
But you did. You made your train.
Well, not really. I got to the ring road, which was absolutely full of lorries and buses and cars, and just thought, oh, this is so easy. What a relief. Yeah. I hammered up the hill. I remember just sort of sweating and panicking. Whizzed down the other side. And I got to... Euston.
Yeah.
With about 5 minutes before my train left.
Right.
Locked up the bike, ran in.
Tense.
And it wasn't listed.
Oh.
It's the cheapy train by the other provider, you know?
Right.
And they just hadn't uploaded the information, so it wasn't on the board in the station.
Yeah.
And it wasn't on the app on my phone. So I couldn't find a train.
Oh.
So it went without me.
Oh, mate.
I got the next one, but still.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God.
What, did you have to buy another ticket?
No, same right. Ticket.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right.
And it got me there in time, so very light on drama, but it was still, it was a really terrible hour.
And then did you stay in Birmingham?
No, I came back again.
Right, okay.
Without drama. I was saying to people, it's comedian's timing, isn't it? We were saying last week, we don't tend to spend longer in the place we're going to than we need
to. Than we have to, yeah.
It's like when you go to a theatre at 5:30 for an 8 o'clock show, and about 6:15, people who work in the theatre, like a proper theatre who that has plays, they'll always say, do you know where the other acts are? And you always just have to stop yourself saying, well, they're still in the houses.
Sort of setting off. Yeah. Two are asleep. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think they'll need a sound check?
Nope.
Nope.
So none of... We didn't gig last weekend.
No, I just did that stuff.
I enjoyed it. I must say, I enjoyed it. Friday and Saturday off, I really enjoyed it. But I'm back on it this week.
Yeah. What have you got coming up?
I've got a couple of McIntyre... taking noty sort of gigs, and
still very small. He's doing
still really small gigs.
Yeah,
and then I've got.
It's good because you know it's not like he's a proper stand-up, is it?
No, you're right. It's all he can get now. and then I'm doing the incredibly overlit and quite uncomfortable comedy pub in the centre of London.
Yes.
And then two gigs for Just a Tonic on Saturday.
Very good. Where in the Midlands?
Birmingham and Nottingham. Yeah.
Right.
How about you?
I'm doing Oxted.
Right.
On Saturday. And I've got, I think I'm gigging on Thursday, but it's unclear what's happening then.
Right.
It's my wife's birthday on Friday.
Oh, fantastic.
So we're going to go to the
awesome
Suzanne exhibition at Tate Modern.
Right.
And then have a meal out afterwards.
Lovely.
And it's also our anniversary, not our wedding anniversary, but our couple anniversary.
Right.
Next week.
Nice.
So we've got some good times lined up, which is good because we've spent many days working on taxes.
Yeah.
No, so, you know, a bit of balance. Life is balance.
Well, we've got our 25th wedding anniversary next week, so...
Yeah, I was thinking that these anniversaries stick together in some way.
It's very hard to find so many, like really decent restaurants are just... They're completely booked out.
25th is Silver,
completely
right?
Completely booked out is Silver, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's... It's a big one. So, we're going to go somewhere, but...
What are you going to get? Like a sword?
God knows.
God
knows. 25. You could get 25 eggs.
Silver eggs?
Yeah.
Got to be silver.
I don't know what... You need to... I obviously need to buy you something.
What a good first step.
Something needs to happen. Because the really nice restaurant... doesn't seem to be working out. It's just everywhere's booked. I've been looking for really nice French Italian restaurants in town.
Is it on a weekday?
There'll be some nice
what
ones.
Day of the week is it?
It's a weekday. It's like Wednesday.
Maybe it's your rep. Do you phone them up and they're like, oh no, we're in Hollis now.
Yeah. No, but this is Paul Tonkinson looking for a table for two. Tonkinson, yeah. Sunday show.
T-O-N.
Yeah. Big breakfast. Do you back in the day?
Award winning.
Yeah.
I'm an award winning.
Raw soup. Nothing, still the okay.
I don't remember raw soup.
But, yeah, so it's looking like a restaurant in Islington.
Yeah.
Which is still, it's fine. It's fine.
That's a lovely place.
There's so many nice restaurants in London, isn't there?
Yeah,
it's incredible. Yeah. You just can't get a seat anywhere.
Yeah.
So we'll try now. I'll try and work that one out.
We're going to the Refinery behind Tate Modern. I haven't been there.
Right.
Seems nice.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that the others will go down there on their own so that I can climb up, jump off the roof of St. Paul's across some other buildings,
right,
and just run across the top of Blackfriars Bridge as fast as I can.
Now, that would be really nice too.
That's my plan.
It's lovely to go for a meal, isn't it? With the old girl in it, talk about the old times in it. How far you've
looking
come.
Looking back.
How far you've come.
Remember that first year together.
Where are you going?
In the Blitz.
Yeah. We didn't used to be able to afford to come into town, could we? We could come into town.
It is crazy, though, isn't it? You look back quarter of a century and think about where we were at. We were in a different place.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a long time to... I was with this woman who did the boiler. Just a lovely woman, really nice, really into animals. She was like, I'll say this to everyone, but if you see any injured foxes, give us a shout. We look after foxes.
Yep.
She looks after damaged dogs. She says even rodents. You see any rats or mice? You know, like really,
wow.
And I told her it was our 25th wedding anniversary. She was like, I can't do more than 2 years. Once I come around the house, I just want them out again. I can't do it. It's funny people, isn't it?
Do you know? Yeah. Like, people do seem to do one or the other sometimes. Yeah.
So she's obviously really good with, like, rodents.
Yeah.
You know?
Sounds like what she needs is a really terrible person.
Yeah.
Someone who's virtually feral. Well, you got to eat. Yeah. My leg's broken. Yeah, all right, I'll set that for
her
you.
Her son was brought some damaged dog over from Bolivia, you know, like really, like really messed up dogs.
Oh,
know?
My God.
So she was good fun.
I was so pleased. I was really worried when you said I've got to see about Billy. I was a bit worried that Billy wasn't well.
No, Billy's
she
fine.
She said she was feeling a bit funny over Christmas.
No, Billy's fine. She's okay.
She's just getting primped.
No, she's fine. She's just getting...
Good news. I got another dog got upset with me the other day. Might have helped me get that fast mile in Victoria Park, actually.
What did you get?
To be fair to the owner, I feel like it was quite a surprise to him, you know?
Right.
So he's walking down the pavement with the dog on the lead.
Yeah.
And I was running the other way.
Yeah.
Gave him a good old wide berth, as you do.
Yeah.
And just at the last moment of my arrival, the dog went...
Right.
I got this theory.
Get him!
I'm going to eat. I'm going to bite it. You know, they always lick my legs.
Right.
And when I'm running and really warmed up, they often seem really panicked. My theory is that I have an unusually low amount of dog action in my life.
Right.
And they find my dog, my smell that has no dog in it, deeply untrustworthy.
Right.
Particularly when I'm running and all hot. Yeah. So I'm putting off the kind of fug that dogs can, like, read my... they basically think I'm a Terminator.
Yeah.
This guy, you're not human.
He's not.
They use dogs, don't they, in the first Terminators. They use dogs to spot the Terminators, and they don't like them. And to be fair, I am a
living tissue of a metal endoskeleton. So are you planning on maybe part running this week, then?
I wouldn't mind going somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I think time-wise, if it's going on Friday, it's going to be back to Ivy Fields on Saturday, which is great. I love it. But just trying to keep it mixed up. Do you know what happened on Saturday? I forgot to mention. It was really nice, actually. Going out to Queen Elizabeth Park, and it was just the most stunning morning, like a heavy frost.
Yeah.
Mist coming up off the rivers. Sun just risen in the south. And... Judy just said, reading that hunt, she said, I need to get Sandy from work. She works in Stratford City now.
Yeah.
I'll come with you. So we went out on the bikes. And I said, I don't know where the start for this one is. She normally goes down the towpath and then left into Stratford City. I said, I don't know where the start is for this. I think it's up near the velodrome.
Yeah.
So let's go in the other way. Anyway, we went across Hackney Marshes. You know, we went the other day. It was that lovely path that just cuts right across the bottom end of it.
Yeah.
And then I just realised as we got there... It was about 9:05.
Right.
So the Hackney Marshes Park kind of just set off. And we it was lucky because we'd got caught up in it, but we missed it. We came across the bridge there and turned right to go up that slope up over the A12. And you could see the park
the
and the whole
runners.
Team
yeah, yeah.
Going around the other side of this football pitch. All the different colours in the mist.
Nice.
It was incredible. I wish I got some pictures, but I was late. But it was just the most beautiful thing, both, you know, aesthetically and...
Yes.
Just that pack of... Because we said it before, because I remember when I missed the park run at... what's it called? Crosby. It's just something so magical about the way it comes together from nothing.
Yeah.
And then happens, and then it's gone.
And then disappears, yeah.
And when you don't do it...
And it's such a low sort of footprint event, isn't it?
Yes.
You don't need, there's not much for
well,
it.
Well, they're really low, aren't they? They're just on the ground, just there. Have I misunderstood? No, absolutely. It's just
need a finishing area, and that's
some
it.
Some cones.
Yeah.
And like when we did... We should volunteer again, but when we volunteered, the way, of course, you know, as soon as the last people are gone, you're packing it all up again.
Yeah.
And then we all gone for another week. Wren. Little wren there. Brilliant. Noticing the other day about wrens, they're quite chameleon-like. Unlike other birds, they have a real range of, depending on where they live, they tend to be slightly different colours.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting. If depending on how you... Think of the word interesting.
It is a lovely morning for a run, actually.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Fresh, but not cold, really.
Yeah, I was talking about all that I did have a nightmare on the cycling. I took all that good running last week. And I had a good but gentle run yesterday, but I'm in a bit of a state today.
What's up?
I felt really tired at the end of last week. And then I did that 10K pretty flat out, which does tend to
charge you out
for a few days.
Yeah.
I had a booster jab yesterday.
Right, okay.
And just a general feeling of just...
right.
This morning when I came to meet Paul, dear listener, I went the wrong way. Now, you of all people know, I'm quite familiar with this
one. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And yet last night...
It's not like we haven't done it before, is it?
I consider myself quite the chef.
Yeah.
I burnt something. And do you know what I burnt?
What?
I burnt the frozen peas.
What?
That's not easily done, is it?
Mate! Is that your fourth booster?
I've had 9 now. I get them every 2 weeks. Yeah, I think so.
Just to be safe, yeah.
I think it is, yeah. Of course, once you're 50, they just get you in. They say, like, come on, you're 50 now.
Yeah.
Have this sugar lump. They jab you with this. Look at that, jab you with this. Got jabbed up. I look like a pinhead out of the Hellraiser films. I didn't. So there we are.
Nice little runs. Yeah, sorry that it's slightly truncated.
Yeah, fair enough.
Got to get back for the hour.
But
yeah, I'll have a look for the date for this Queen Elizabeth 10K.
March the 5th.
March the 5th, yeah.
Let's do it. And do check out those run-through events. Let us know what you're doing. Some amazing things at the weekend. Is it Richard, who hasn't been well, but is a great distance runner, came back to running around 40 miles.
Yes.
And just all the pictures. Everyone except Darren in Melbourne, just all the beautiful pictures and all the incredible cold.
Yeah, gorgeous.
It was quite the weekend for running, really. I think we'll all remember it for a long time.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.